college actor, what's your next step? Out of college actor, are you famous yet? Out of college actor, why are you in the doms? Out of college actor, what's your backup? We don't know. Help.
Hi, welcome to episode 24 of Out of College Actor. I'm Sarah Ford, and with me is Spencer Brady. And we have our guest today, which is Robert Hunter Bry.
Woo! Woo!
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
So we went to ISU with Robert Hunter Bry, and we graduated at the same time.
Yeah.
Wonderful days.
Yeah.
So long ago.
Very true.
It does feel like a while, doesn't it?
It does. It feels like almost a lifetime already at this point.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. No, it's weird.
That's fair.
Yeah, so we're going to start with our check-ins.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
So this past week has been my first official week working at the dog walking place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. A little stressful, but I'm figuring out my boundaries and knowing what I can do, what I can't, all that jazz. My mom is calling me. I apologize, but it feels good. I'm doing something that I enjoy doing, and I'm also making money while doing it. I feel more active in society now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I noticed in my psyche lately, if I do something wrong or if something stresses me out, I'm not mad at myself about it anymore. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not beating myself up as much as I
used
to.
That's cool.
Now I'm you know what fucking happened? You just
it's in the past.
Solve whatever you can right now, and if not, it's over. And so I'm
yeah.
So something's changing for the better.
Good.
Thank God.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
I just been walking dogs this week, and I'm doing really well budgeting wise, and I'm feeling really excited about that.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Little Women is over now, so it's adjusting to having more free time, but then looking at new auditions. And I also signed up for an on-camera class.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
A vagabond.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Take it away, Robert. What's your check-in?
I've been doing some work on trying to find a new day job. I've been doing some dog walking for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I just finished getting this course in bartending.
Oh, no way!
Cool.
Yeah, and so I'm not fully finished yet. I still have to go to this, state Illinois certification seminar thing, but I've already passed the course, and they have a lot of job placement resources. I want to be a bartender.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good day job, and I think I would love it. I don't know. Maybe I'll hate it. We'll see. But I'd like to give it a shot. So that's the new plan. Other than that, I'm kind of in between projects right now. I'm waiting to start another one next month.
You already know what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Ooh, wow.
That's exciting. But yeah, I'm just transitioning right now.
Okay. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Always.
It's
beautiful.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Milk stuck in my throat.
Oh, God.
It's fine. I'll live.
Yeah, so
tragedy.
We'll just start with our first question of what was it like graduating? What were your first steps after graduating ISU?
I moved back in real quick,
mm-hmm.
and I was very lucky because I wanted to stay as busy as possible once I graduated. I didn't want to slow down at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was luckily enough, I live in Oak Park, or technically Forest Park, but right in the border, which is right off of the Green Line.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to be pretty active in terms of auditioning in the city. Once I got out. I think I went to my first audition 9 days after graduation.
Oh, wow.
That was for Shaw Chicago, too.
Was really was it really?
Yeah,
oh,
that was really fun.
That's
cool. Yeah, and so I was online, and I would look up websites, and I would go to every single audition that I thought I could go to. I didn't even really think about it. Now I'm not as, I'm more discreet now. Now I look at it, I'm like, oh, do I want to go for that or not? But for me, I was very desperate to just be busy, and I was working at the call center for a while, which I don't work there anymore. But yeah, I don't know, it was a little depressing, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was very, very much just trying to focus on the future as much as possible and not worry about the present.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know, I guess it worked out well enough. I survived, right? We all survived.
Yeah.
We made it, we're still here.
Absolutely.
Surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True.
Mm. Yeah, so you just were ready to grind right out the box. You were let's go with this acting.
Yeah, I was antsy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, because I'd come up, I'd grown up, I'd around the Chicago area, and I had always wanted to start auditioning in Chicago. And so I was trying to look at the positives, because I feel like pretty bummed out about leaving ISU and leaving everyone behind, and going back home and not being in that environment anymore with all these amazing people like you guys. And so I just wanted to make sure that I was busy. I wanted to make sure that I had something else keeping me going, something that was important to me that I was focusing on. So I tried to focus on my career as much as I could.
Well, yeah, and then it worked, because you just finished a show.
Yeah, I did in December. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
12th Night.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
We love Shakespeare here.
Me too. Then, have you noticed any difference between shows you've done at ISU and shows you've done here in Chicago?
Yeah, I have in some ways. I've only done the two in Chicago so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say they were both very different experiences as well. One thing that was sort of interesting was just the age variety, particularly in the show I did at Shaw Chicago, working with more experienced actors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had gotten some of that before, not at ISU, but at Illinois Shakes and Arkansas Shakes.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt it a lot more, because it was like this very, the company has an ensemble of actors, so they've been working together for years and years and years, and they've played so many different roles together and worked in so many projects together. It was interesting kind of coming in as an outsider. They were very welcoming, very, very kind and friendly. But it was pretty cool to see, like, okay, this is what it's like to watch people who have basically been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
And this is just their life and their career. And, you know, it's not just I'm working on the show and then, you know, after a semester I'll be doing something else. And, you know, we're all in a transitional period and we're studying. It's interesting to see people who are in it for life.
Yeah, it's hope-inducing to me.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because, like, right now it seems so hard.
Yeah,
but then to see...
Yeah, it is inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because I would always, whenever I worked with older actors, well, not like older than me, but anyone who had more experience than me, I would always try to like be like, okay, so if he or she did it in this way, I'll just take some notes and like see if that works out for me and like try to copy their success. Mm-hmm. That was always like my philosophy, I guess.
Nice.
And it's cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so then how's the commute to Chicago, since you're, like, right outside of it?
It depends.
Do you like having that separation, or is it,
I don't
do you think
love
it's better
it.
To be here?
I don't love do it at all.
Talk
when I'm, like,
tell
in
us.
Rehearsal till like, 10 or 10:30 at night, and I have to take an hour train ride home to get back to Oak Park, and it's not great. But it is good for me right now. It's manageable for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had lived further off, I wouldn't have had a choice. I would have had to move to the city.
Yeah.
And I think the advantages of being in a position where I'm not paying any rent and I'm just saving and working and not having to deal with the stress that comes with having your own place,
mm-hmm.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there are other commutes that are pretty easy. Like, I live, like, the Equity office is real close to where I'm at.
Oh, nice.
It's like a 20-minute train ride from me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great. So, that's really convenient, but if I have to go really far up north to do something, like or rehearsal spaces or that are off the red line or stuff like that, that's a bit more of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I worked at Shaw Chicago, there in like the Gold Coast at Ruth Page Center for the Arts, that's a really easy commute to me. But it's basically the further north you go, the harder it is and the more stressful, I guess. But it's manageable for me, at least. I liked it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking you'll come up to the city soon, though?
Yeah, as soon as possible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the plan. It all depends whether or not, because I know what my next project's going to be, and that's March and April covered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything booked currently after that, but there are still a couple places I'm waiting to hear back from,
okay.
Which would be, honestly, there's one main one, but that would be out of state if I was to get that.
Oh,
and so I'd be
really?
Going away for a while, which, I mean, very well may not get. And so my plan is if I don't get an out-of-state summer contract, I'm going to try and move to the city over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, then obviously I'm going to have to postpone it. There'd be no use in, like, moving into an apartment and then leaving it for, like, 3 to 5 months or something like that.
Yeah.
Dang.
Which, yeah.
What are these projects?
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about them.
That's okay.
That's fine.
I don't know yet.
So interesting.
It is fun. Well, you know, I figure it's kind of a win-win for me. Because either I'm going to be moving on to this next phase of my life, moving out and getting a place in the city, which I want to do very much.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll have something else for the summer, which would be cool. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers
Dang.
Crossed.
That's fun. Let's keep us updated, because I want to know what you're doing.
Oh, I will. Trust me. You won't shut me up about it once I actually, if I find out or whatever.
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, my God.
Have you noticed anything, have you, like, learned new stuff about your acting since leaving ISU? Like, your process or... what you enjoy about it or something.
What works from ISU, what doesn't work.
It's I feel like for me, my acting, I don't know if this is a good thing to say, I feel like it hasn't evolved much since I left ISU.
That's
funny. I don't think I've made any real strides or anything. I mean, in working on projects, I've picked up the way that other people work.
Mm-hmm.
But and so I guess I've tried to copy them to an extent or take in their process. But I mean, that's more just sort of note taking and being like, okay, this is how this person does it. For me, I don't know. I haven't taken a class or anything like that, mm-hmm. since I haven't worked on much.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have noticed, I guess, is more about the career side of it in terms of what auditions I've been going to, what auditions I've been getting invited to, what my strengths in terms of my career are going to be like, if I'm lucky enough to continue doing stuff. That is interesting because that's so different than ISU, where it's like, I love that department in many ways, but there's a, you know, it's a department. It's insulated.
Yeah.
The only people you have to worry about working with or competing with are people who are already inside the department.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in a market this huge with all the thousands of actors in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
it's a different dynamic in terms of, you know, what sort of people are going to get called in, where they're going to have worked, what sort of experience levels they're going to be looking for when they call people in. I'm getting a little bit neurotic about it, I think, because I'm starting to like kind of keep track of the people that I've been seeing getting called in from the same parts as me.
Yes.
Like, I'm trying to like figure out how many other Robert Hunter Brys there are in the city so I can like be ready for them. I look at them and I look at them and like, you know, you meet people too at auditions and you see who's worked where and you're like, okay, I see you've worked at this place. I've worked at this place. That's kind of a similar, you know, there's a lot of overlap and yeah, exactly. So knowing that, that's sort of how the people who are doing the casting, I presume, are going to be looking at me, getting an idea of how they're going to perceive me.
Yeah.
I think it's accurate. I don't know. It could just be in my head, but it's fun.
Well, have you also noticed, like, I feel like there was such a feeling of, once you get out in the real world, it's so cutthroat, it's so,
mm-hmm.
like, and like, yeah, it's competitive, but doesn't it seem, though, like, nobody who's sitting in the waiting room with you is like, I hope you fucking know.
Yeah,
you
know? No,
like,
nobody,
everybody's
yeah.
really nice. No?
Yeah. No, not at all. I think, yeah, that's a misconception.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously there is that awareness. I think everybody who does acting knows that it's competitive.
Yeah.
And there's just too many of us. It's not fair. Not enough parts to go around. But people, it could just be they're really good at hiding it, you know, and they actually are, like, vindictive and, like, praying for your failure and trying to sabotage you. And they're just oblivious to it. That'll be interesting. But no, in my experience, everybody's pretty friendly for the most part. In the audition room and in the rehearsal room, and the callbacks and stuff. Because, I mean, people want you to be friendly to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really complain about any of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. What have your rehearsal processes been like?
It's been two very different ones for the two shows I've done so far. Candida at Shaw Chicago and 12th Night at Midsummer Flight, because Shaw Chicago is, they have a very unique rehearsal process, and they only have 2 weeks of rehearsals, and...
Well, what?
Yeah, only two
total?
Weeks. Yeah, total 2 weeks. It's a stage reading.
Oh,
so it's, yeah, exactly, so...
I was like, what?
But yeah, no, there's, the blocking is basically, it's a really cool performance style, because everybody stands, and they all have music stands, and they're all facing the audience at all times, so it's kind of like a movie where you get to see them facing you head-on instead of the profiles.
Ooh.
I saw a performance there before I worked there, and I was like, wow, this is really unique and cool. But so that style, because there's no blocking, and it's all very much, it's a concert style, it was all 110% focused on the text, and the textual analysis was some of the most detailed that I've ever done. I didn't have that much to do. I was one of the smallest role in the play, so it was easier for me. But I did a lot of witnessing, and the director, she was very like specific about digging deep and trying different interpretations, kind of like you do when, you know, I mean, like in Shakespeare, and that style of thing. And the next show I did was an actual Shakespeare show, so of course there's that. But that was also that one, the blocking, because it was a very weird and unique...
you're Allie, right?
Yeah, with Allie seating, which I had never done before.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
that's
it's
so
super
cool.
I had always wanted to do that. And so that one, the blocking was very unique. And a lot of it came down to making sure that I wasn't standing in a way that obscured my other actors, because the angles are so tricky. But yeah, it's two very different processes and... Processes? I think it's processes. I don't know.
I actually don't know.
I don't know either. I could look it up. No, whatever. I know what I mean. Anyone who's listening knows. But no, yeah, it was two very different styles, and both I enjoyed very much.
Good.
Yeah.
Heck yes.
That's cool. So then are you, because you love Shakespeare a lot, mm-hmm. is that what you, the kind of stuff you're looking to do more, or are you still open to doing, finding different avenues of theater and acting?
Yeah, has this informed you of any other stuff you want to try?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd try just about anything, really. I mean, like I told you guys, when I first started auditioning, I was like, if there's any part that I'm remotely qualified to play based on demographics alone, I'll audition for it. And I still try to keep that attitude.
Mm-hmm,
like,
yeah.
The next show I'm doing isn't Shakespeare.
Okay, I mean, cool.
The first non-classical show I've done since, like...
A hint.
I'm pretty open to everything, but I do want to keep doing Shakespeare just because I think at this point I've done a decent amount of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a decent amount stacked up on my resume, which I think helps me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, have you noticed, because you did the, Chicago Shakes, no, it was, you did
I
a,
wish.
same, no, you did a,
the Shakespeare Festival?
Yeah, Illinois Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. How did that affect any of what happened after college? Did it help? Did it inform?
I think it helped a lot.
Yeah.
I think that and Arkansas helped a lot.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, you should talk about that too.
Yeah, those are both good experiences because, I mean, I don't know, like, I had a very misguided understanding of what the actor's lifestyle was like when I first came to college.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't really know what it was like. I didn't know what the gigs were like. I didn't know what the ways that it worked, the way that, you know, the way that you find jobs, your odds of finding jobs, how I just kind of didn't really know. I mean, I knew it was hard. I knew everybody told me it was really hard, so that was really all I knew. And having those two opportunities work with a lot of pros who have been doing it for a while, I got a lot of very valuable advice on sort of them explaining their experiences. And so I just tried to kind of keep all that in mind. I remember, well, you know, it's like he said, this person said that, you know, you have to do this sort of thing sometime. And I think it helped my expectations.
Mm.
I think it did. I don't know. but yeah, I think those were very valuable to me.
Mm. That's good. Yeah. So Shakespeare, are you trying to stick with theater or are you interested in film?
I'm very, very interested in film.
Because you took on camera at ISU, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. David Preet. Shout out.
Yeah, David Preet.
I hope he hears this.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I would love to. Mm-hmm. I don't have an agent, though, so mm-hmm. My odds of getting anything without an agent are pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have been searching, though. I've been submitting to everybody.
Nice.
Constantly.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find your auditions?
Almost all of them either I'll get invited to if I'm lucky, or if I look online on websites like Theater in Chicago or League of mm-hmm. Chicago Theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a part of several Facebook groups, actually.
Okay, yeah.
And those are good, especially for finding equity auditions. That don't really get listed a lot of the time, except on the Equity website.
Do you want to be Equity?
Right someday, away? Someday.
Oh, someday.
No time soon, because I mean, I'm EMC now, which is awesome.
Mm. Can you explain that?
Okay, that's like, so it's basically like, I'm probably going to do a very poor job explaining this. Some Equity person is going to hear this and be like, this kid doesn't know what he's talking about. But it's basically like you're in the process of becoming Equity.
Like you have... done some equity slash non-equity
shows. You have to do an equity show and they have to give you a contract that allows you to accrue equity hours. I signed up for during Arkansas Shakes, but honestly I should have done it at Illinois Shakes. I could have done it then, and I would advise you guys if you ever get an opportunity to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't always come along, it's random. But you can basically it means that you're accruing equity hours, so if you work at an equity theater you get X number of hours. I'm at 8 right now, and the maximum before they make you join the union is 50. The minimum is now 25. They've been reducing it a lot lately. It used to be like 40. I don't know why. And basically, the only real advantages it gives you, other than the fact that you can't eventually become equity, is you get seen before non-equity actors at equity auditions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's honestly...
Even though you're still technically not equity?
Yeah, they usually... Okay. Basically, equity... EPA's equity auditions, I've gone to so many lately. They're insane. I've been going... Because they're basically open auditions.
Yeah.
Anyone can show up and sign up, but there's no guarantee you'll get seen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're equity, you get first priority. Mm-hmm. You can even make appointments through the equity portal. But if you're EMC or non-equity, you just have to show up there the day of the audition and put your name on the list. And if they have enough time in between equity actors, they'll get around to you. They usually make two lists. one for EMC actors, and when they finish that one, then they start the non-equity list.
Wow.
So it's honestly a pretty big advantage. I don't want to complain about it because it helps me, but it's kind of unfair in some ways.
It sounds like a good in-between, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not fully equity, so, like, you don't have to do only equity shows.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, you can do
either.
But
then you're also not technically totally non-equity, so you have some of the advantages.
Yeah, I think it's good. A lot of people, the only drawback I've heard from is a lot of people say they're afraid that if they go EMC, once you go EMC, usually you're going to be accruing the equity hours, and they're afraid they'll get too many hours and join the union too soon.
Oh, I see.
But I don't really worry about that. I mean, I guess for me, it's like saying you don't want to, like, practice basketball too much because you're afraid you might accidentally join the NBA or something, you know? Like, I mean, it's not going to happen if you don't want it to happen. You're not going to, I mean, I think it's hard to get there. So for me, I'm grateful for it. And if you guys ever get an opportunity to do that, I would say snatch it up as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, they don't always come very often. And if the max is like once you hit 50, you have to join the union. Mm-hmm. Just if you're not ready yet, don't hit 50 yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'd have that option. Yeah. And it's and equity auditions are hard. I mean, there are some where I'll be around there for like 4 hours waiting. And I'm EMC because that many people show up.
Oh, wow.
They, I mean, like, especially for like, because I went in for, I mean, some of the really big ones for like the biggest, most well-known theaters in the city, like Goodman, Steppenwolf, Chicago Shakes, people will show up at like 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, my
and the audition
God.
Doesn't even start till 10, but they have like the pre-list that they have to be on because there's hundreds of actors who want to get seen at every one of these auditions. So I would say, and that's, it's stressful. I've discovered that. I've been to a lot of these.
It sounds that way.
Yeah.
So you get invited to auditions? How?
Sometimes. I've only been invited to a few.
What is it like?
She just sent you an email, so we'd like you to come in and audition for this part of this theater and ask if you're free. And I always, I usually go for it.
I've only had one invite, but I assumed it was because of Showcase, which we all had to do at the end of our senior year.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's one way that they get your information. I think, I've gotten, I think, a few that I maybe got because of Showcase. It's hard to say that you never know how it could be. Definitely once they've seen you and it Showcase, the nice thing is they have our headshot and resume, so they know how we act. They've seen us act, they know what we look like, and they have our resume and our contact info. So Showcase, I think, is real helpful for that, for getting yourself out there so people, you're on their radar.
I agree.
What I also do a lot is I was in a phase a while ago, not so much lately, where I was just sending my headshot and resume to like
any
theater. I would go on their website and it'd be like, if I'm allowed to send in my headshot and resume, I'm gonna do it. And so I would do that. I would be very annoying.
Did you get many results from doing that?
I think I got called in, I think. Oh, my God. See, I used to have an audition log, and I had everything written down in that.
I have one.
You do? Awesome. Good for you.
Too. It's not super full, like, at all, but I have it. I'm ready
to
write it.
I'm so proud of myself, because I used to keep mine. I was very, like, every audition I would, like, go on, every time I had a laptop, I'd be like, I'm going to put it in now. And then, like, in, like, September, I just kind of fell off of it. I've updated it since then. It's so incomplete. It would take forever for me to catch up. But
I'm just worried if I accumulate enough auditions, and I go to re-audition for somebody, and they're like, hey, and like, it's nice to see you again. I don't have their, like, I just
like,
stopped, and they're like, oh, God, who are you?
Yeah, you're like, it's good to see you too. I guess.
Yeah. Wow. Dang. Okay. So, what is the word again? What are you called? EM what?
It stands for Equity Membership Candidate.
Okay, so EMC.
Yeah, EMC. And it's a good deal, I think, for now at least.
Yeah.
Those equity principal auditions are like, sometimes they're pretty rough.
How so?
Well, just the waiting.
Oh, yeah.
And the wait, and like by the time you actually do get seen, you've been waiting in the waiting room for like 4 hours and your eyes are like glazed over and it's crowded and you're sweaty and you walk in and you're just like, I'm Robert, hi. But yeah, that's something you get used to too. Because now when I go to an EPI, I know that's probably going to happen. So I try to prepare myself for it.
Nice.
I bring a book. That's what I do.
Perfect. So is it, are you interested in just doing theater in Chicago, or are you looking at like maybe LA, New York, Europe, around, wherever you wherever your heart desires?
For now, for the foreseeable future, like the next few years, probably Chicago for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to someday branch out and leave and go to a different city just to try it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I want to go to LA someday.
Yeah.
I have no idea how I would make that happen, but I'm going to do it someday.
That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. It's on the to-do list.
Yeah.
But that's all the distant future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, well, it's something you and Camille talked about, right? What did he say? He said, mm-hmm. like, the best thing. He was like, I'd rather be, like, one in, like, 100 instead of, like, one in a million.
Oh,
what the
yeah.
fuck did Camille say?
So I think I remember you guys talking about that in a podcast. It was a good quote.
Yeah, essentially yeah. he was just saying something like, I'd rather have stuff under my belt here and then go as opposed to just, like, hey, I'm
yeah.
a new fresh face.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go straight there. But I do know some people who are going to do it, and I applaud them. I see
yeah,
more power
same.
To them right
Absolutely.
on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather.
It's very
yeah.
brave, bold.
Yeah, and it can pay off real well. I mean, who is it we know? We know someone.
Tyler.
Tyler's gone. He's going to go.
Yeah.
Anastasia's
there. Anastasia went
there,
yeah. Yeah. She's doing pretty well. I've been seeing her, like, on, like, commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
She's been booking
yeah.
there. So she's...
It's nuts.
And wasn't Mac Bird.
Oh, yeah.
He graduated
yeah,
before
yeah.
us, but he was on, like, an episode of NCIS LA or something,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, and he was in a pilot of a show.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah, if you
Boss.
Have the... Yeah, if you're ready to go there already, like, honestly,
God
bless you. Yeah,
yeah.
like, I'm
yeah.
here like, no.
Someday. I want to look before I leap in that situation.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I've, like, thought everything through and saved a lot of money and mm-hmm. built up my resume and then maybe
mm-hmm.
go for it. But I do want to eventually.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Same. Absolutely same.
And you don't have to deal with the weather that we have to deal with here.
It
oh,
sucks
exactly.
here.
It's terrible.
So miserable, isn't it?
I know.
It's
and
awful.
The one day where the weather is like super, super bad, all the dogs I walked were like, let's walk for as long as we can. Like,
what is wrong with you guys?
I know. I was like, And I wore these leggings today and I was going to wear a pair of the jeans over them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I was like walking to my first dog and I was like, I forgot my other pair of pants. Like, dang it.
No.
I just wear my leggings.
So
that's rough.
It was so rough.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask our surprise question?
Oh, God.
Which one surprise. Are we doing?
The one that
we
asked
last
week? Yeah.
Okay,
I think we just make it our thing.
Oh, Robert and Brian.
Suspense is killing me.
What is your opinion on the Zac Efron Ted Bundy ordeal?
Sitch.
Okay.
I have
given some thought to this because I saw the trailer. I'm going to reserve judgment until the movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possible that it could be a very superficial portrayal that sort of makes Ted Bundy kind of like a charming anti-hero sort of thing, which would be ridiculous and stupid. But it's also possible that it's actually a very nuanced film,
yeah.
and it's going to do a good job of bringing the character to life. But to be honest, I don't know that much about Ted Bundy. Like, I never listened to his tapes or anything like that back in the day, so I don't really know what he was like. I don't know if Zac Efron really is the right man for the job. I would have to do a little more research on that. But, you know, Zac Efron, I kind of liked him back in the day, but I'm pretty sure... And this is going to be a little bit off topic, but I have a very serious theory that I've been working on that man is on steroids, hardcore. And for some reason, that just kind of, I don't know, kind of sours my opinion of him. I want that on the record. I want that, you can quote me on that.
I'm not going to edit that one out.
Good. I don't care if Zach hears it or anything. I'm not
afraid.
I'm calling him out, yeah. And no. And yeah, instead Ted Bundy wouldn't have been on steroids. So, you know, how accurate can it be? These are just, you know, some truth bombs I'm dropping.
I appreciate it.
Oh, yes.
You would like that, though, the docuseries of
mm-hmm.
Ted Bundy on Netflix. It's fucked up.
Well, you know, I've been watching this Netflix show, and it's similar subject matter. It's about serial killers called Mindhunter. You watch Mindhunter?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? It's so good.
It's amazing.
With Jonathan Groff and Holt McCanney.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm six episodes in right now. I'm going to finish the first season soon. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's so well written, and Mindhunter is great.
The other ones that are good are the one, it's the one with Darren Criss. Something about Versace. Oh,
yeah, that's
just
the American
Versace.
Crime Story one, right?
Yes.
They won all the Golden Globes for.
That one's really good,
yeah.
too. And then, son of a gun. I can't remember what it's called, but it takes place in, like, It's like off the coast of Ireland or whatever, and it's so good. I'm gonna try and remember it. Oh, in True Detective with.
I love True Detective. Yeah, so oh my god, the first season of True Detective is so it's a masterpiece.
It's so good.
I saw that when I was in high school, and I thought that like Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, that was like the best like on a TV show. That was the best acting I had ever seen. I was like this is amazing. This is brilliant. The writing was so good. Oh my god, I can't wait for the third season.
Yeah.
Because Mahershala Ali is gonna be in it, and I've heard, and he's like one of the biggest actors in the world right now. He's having such a great career. Oh my god, I can't wait. I'm so hype for this new show. Oh,
me too.
God bless True Detective.
Honestly.
Love that show.
There's a lot of good stuff coming out. We were talking about Dragon Prince. Second season is on Netflix.
Is that by the same people who made Avatar?
Yes.
Yes!
Okay, I've heard about
it's,
that.
It's really good. So good.
Right.
A lot of people were like, the animation is weird because it's like...
It's 3D animation.
It's, yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like...
Rocky. The way you see it, it's kind of strange.
Wait, so 3D, is that like Pixar style or...
It's like Kingdom Hearts, sort of. Like, it looks like Kingdom Hearts cutscenes, mm-hmm. but it's more... it's like there's like a second missing from the animation. Like, it's kind of like jerky sometimes.
Oh, okay.
But it's really cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very well done.
I love it. So
in
good.
In my opinion. I said that. Like, I just had a lot of feelings.
Well, speaking of Avatar, though, I mean, have you guys heard about the live-action TV remake that they're supposedly working on?
Oh, I'm so worried.
Me too. I'm very apprehensive about it. I feel like I'm the same way. I'm like, in some ways, like, it could be great, but, like, the original is so perfect.
Yeah.
How can you possibly improve on something so perfect? Maybe just leave it alone, you know? I mean...
And we're all still recovering from the first live-action film.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It wasn't great.
That was terrible.
It was horrible. It's
traumatically bad.
And I love Jackson Rathbone, but he was just...
Oh, yeah.
That was the worst.
Didn't he play Sokka?
He played Sokka.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, though.
He's miscast in that role. So is Dev Patel. He played Zuko. He's great. The Slumdog Millionaire kid. Mm-hmm. He's great, but no. Yeah, I think about that movie a lot.
I didn't realize Dev Patel was in that.
It was Zuko.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Huh. I'm pretty sure he was.
It didn't work.
Wow.
Not really.
Nothing in that movie.
I heard Slumdog Millionaire. I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
Dev Patel.
Great. He was great in a... The Lion?
I haven't seen that. Have you seen that? With Nicole Kidman? I've been meaning to see that. I should have seen that a long time ago. I've been negligent.
It's so good.
Oh, great. I got to check it out then. Mm-hmm. They both got Oscar nominations for that, didn't they?
I believe so.
I remember that was a year before last. Like, that was the year the Moonlight won, wasn't it? The year the Moonlight won. The year that the Moonlight...
That big mistake.
They accidentally gave it to La La Land. I feel so bad for both people on both who worked on those movies. Oh, my God. That's kind of
suck. But they handled it with grace. He was like,
they did.
Hey... I'm the whoever from La La Land. Moonlight actually won. Like, sorry.
I'm gonna be so upset. I'd be like, can you imagine, like, Damien Chazelle is like, oh my god, I won this picture. And he's like, oh, okay.
Well, he won something else, didn't he, for La La Land?
Oh, yeah, they won so many.
I think they won Best Directing. I think he won Best Director. And I know they won Cinematography. Mm. It was well deserved.
Yeah.
Great visuals in that movie.
Mm-hmm. I just saw a trailer, too, the other day for, well, first of all, for Frozen 2, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Second of all, though, for the new movie Us.
Oh.
Jordan Peele.
Yes.
Yeah. That looks really interesting. I have so many thoughts on it.
I'm the worst because I still haven't fucking seen Get Out.
But you should see Get Out.
I know, I'm the worst
human being. It's so good.
Yes, I've heard so many amazing things about it. And then I'm like, I really want to see Us. But I feel like I want to see Get Out first, so I know the style of his movies and writing, and then I want to see Us.
Well, it's interesting, because Us looks like a very... So just based on the trailers, which not, doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I remember thinking Us looks like a very different style of horror movie than Get Out.
Yeah. Well, because if I remember the first trailer I watched from Get Out, there was like such a weird supernatural element to it.
Yeah.
But then for Us, it seems more... Well, they're supernatural, because it's like... Of themselves.
Yeah, but it looks more overtly supernatural. Like, Get Out kind of gave me like a kind of like Twin Peaks sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, you know something mysterious is going on when you first start watching, but you're still not sure exactly what it is, and they sort of layer in the more supernatural elements as the movie goes on, which I don't want to spoil for you. But yeah, that was how I felt about Get Out, whereas Us looks more like it's like more on the surface horror in your face, as opposed to sort of like, there's something spooky going on, and then we get to the horror. I don't know, that's just a theory.
The cast looks amazing, too.
Yeah, they got, I saw the funniest tweet, I don't even know, on Twitter, but I saw the one, like, man, M'Baku didn't wait 30 seconds after T'Challa got dusted to start making moves on Nakia. They cracked me up.
Oh my god. So great, Lupita.
Yeah, she is great.
Mm-hmm. She needs to be in more things immediately.
heard she was going to be in. I think she dropped out, but I remember hearing that she was going to be in a reboot of Charlie's Angels with Kristen Stewart.
No!
Of all people. The most bizarre thing. I don't know. I mean, that was what I read. I'm going to go to IMDb. I'm curious.
Oh my God. I like Kristen Stewart, but she, I don't know. She has had the weirdest transformation, I feel like. Because we saw her in Twilight for, no. Oh my God, no. We saw her in, what was that movie?
She was in younger. She was in a,
I know you're thinking of it too.
Was it, which one is this?
They're spies. Aren't they? The kids are spies. Oh, no, no. It's the Jumanji thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Zathura?
Zathura!
Yes. Zathura?
Yes.
She's in that?
Yes.
What?
I just clapped her.
With Josh Hutchinson or Josh, whoever it is?
Yeah.
I saw like half that movie once when I was like 10.
She's in some other movie with like.
She's also in Speak. She did a lot of things when she was younger.
Yeah, and then she was like, I'm in Twilight.
Okay, I don't think Lupita's in it anymore. Elizabeth Banks is in it, though. She's directing it. Okay.
Who's directing
it? Sorry, I'm still on Charlie's Angels.
Oh, no, no, tell us.
She's directing it. Naomi Scott is going to be in it. Kristen Stewart. Sam Clayton. Okay. And Patrick Stewart? What?
What is going on?
They're all going to be in... Oh, my God. Well, you guys won't believe who's writing this movie. David Auburn?
Oh, no.
David Auburn is listed on IMDb, I'm reading it right now, as the screenwriter for the new Charlie's Angels reboot, with Elizabeth Banks directing and starring in it, and Kristen Stewart and Patrick Stewart, and Jimon Hunsu from Amistad.
Like, proof David Auburn?
Yeah, that David Auburn.
Wow. Oh my God. What is going on? But, like, that's another interesting thing, too, is, like, playwrights do screenwriting.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Like, think of Sam Shepard.
Yeah, oh, he's done so much. Or Tony Kushner jumps in there sometimes, too.
Oh, I love Tony Kushner so much. He's so fucking underrated.
Or, you know, it's like, and yeah, and they work on the movies you wouldn't think they would be working on. Like, who thought you would see a James Bond movie written by John Logan of Red? Like, Spectre was written by John Logan, and it was directed by Sam Mendes, who was this huge director at the National Theater in the Donmar Warehouse in the 90s and 2000s. It's like these like critically acclaimed masters of theater doing popcorn movies for Hollywood. I love it. I think it's so funny.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
David Auburn writing Charlie's Angels. Like, where does he even go on that?
Well, he wrote like the most famous play now that was done in college.
That's true. Wow, now because I really
you guys were reading from Proof, weren't you? In the,
yes, that's why I'm laughing so hard. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just drunkenly read from Proof, and now he's going to be writing Charlie's Angels. The reboot.
So when it comes out, you guys need to do a podcast where you drunkenly read the script from Charlie's Angels.
Oh, my God. I'm so perfect. Happy. I'm so random. Oh, man. Yeah, I just love debating like whatever is happening in Hollywood at the moment. Because that was the biggest thing when we started talking about it. It was the fucking casting of Zac Efron as Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, oh, Zac's too pretty. I'm like, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to go down this road again. I've already said my piece. Oh my God. Leave Ted Bundy in the past.
He got executed, didn't he?
Yeah, he got the electric chair.
It's back in the day when he stole the electric chair. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's the part of the... That's the hardest part to watch for me, at least at the tapes,
because
he is this monster, and I don't think he was like, well, I mean, everybody's probably scared to die, but like the way people acted on the day he died, like they had like cookouts, they sold merchandise, they held up signs, they chanted outside the prison. Yeah,
people did stuff like that.
They turned into monsters too, and you're just like, and like somebody was like with, I can't remember who this guy is, but he was like, I was with Ted, and I was like, do you hear them outside? Like, they're chanting for you to die. And Ted Bundy just goes like, who's the monster now? And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. All right, well, still you, Ted. But yeah, still I see
you.
What you mean.
But like, yeah, like, it was like, it's just like, they're just written so well. Damn. Why don't we always talk about crime on this podcast, too?
All podcasts have to, like, touch on crime
a little
bit. It's a necessity.
I need my
it's inevitable.
Fix, okay?
I don't listen to any true crime podcasts. Probably
my favorite
should.
Murder.
You should definitely listen to My Favorite Murder. Okay. It's a very great approach. Their JonBenet Ramsey episode is the great. I love listening.
They
to
never found out who did that, right?
No, but it is so obvious to me that it was the little brother covered
okay.
up by the parents.
Really?
It is
wow.
So obvious.
How old is little brother?
At the time, I think he was like. He wasn't even like a teen. Like he was
like. He's like real little brother.
Yeah, I don't think there was. Yeah, there wasn't like a huge age difference between them. Like, he was a kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think he did it, and the parents just like poorly, poorly covered it up. But like, it's fucked up. They do this on My Favorite. They did an hour long episode about just JonBenet Ramsey.
Wow.
And each of them picked. I think that's how they did it. They each picked who they thought they did it, and like why, and they went through the whole story of the case because it's fucking fascinating.
Okay, well, here's one. Who do you think is the Zodiac killer?
Oh.
I think it was Arthur Lee Allen.
Isn't it Ted Cruz?
I was just going to say Ted Cruz, Aiden, right?
He's a copycat. Let's do that. Ted doesn't have that kind of originality. he's a wannabe. I do think it was two of them. I think one of them was Arthur Lee Allen. I think the other, who's the other one? I don't know.
Well, they just caught the Golden Gate killer, didn't they? Isn't that what's on what? The news right now?
Wait.
Remember the Golden Gate killer?
No.
He was like this huge serial killer back in the day.
I remember, I just heard an episode about them.
Yeah, and they just caught him as an old man, like, this year, this past year.
Did he give himself up? Or they finally caught him?
I think it was, like you know how, you know, back in the time, they didn't really have great DNA testing?
Yeah.
But they kept everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they just retested DNA and went back through suspect lists, and were like, here he is.
I feel like it's kind of like, it's going to be so weird. Like, this guy, he was so amped up, and you're chasing him. When you finally do catch him, he's like this frail old man. You're like...
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like, yes, we still caught him, but at the same time, it would have been nice if we could have caught him when he was still in his prime, you know? Like, when he was still, like, I don't know.
Like, how do you feel, too, just, like, sitting there, like, watching them, like, we might have found the Golden Gate Killer, and then you're like, oh, no. Like,
oh, they did.
Yeah. Well, there was, like, this episode of some show I watched, I can't remember, where it was, like, this guy had, like, killed somebody, like, when he was, like, a teen or whatever, and somebody did, like, somebody provided like a sketch of him,
mm-hmm.
and then like it went years and years and years, and then they did like facial aging,
mm-hmm.
on what he would have looked like, and he was like sitting in his home watching the TV, and it like popped up on the news, and he was like, I thought I was gonna be found out right there, but his mm-hmm. wife didn't
notice
think it.
It
was him.
Oh my gosh.
Well, also, because those aren't like 100, those aren't 100%
they're
certain.
Just close, yeah.
Like the
yeah.
ones where you get the celebrities.
Oh,
where like
God.
You're like, oh, we did a composite sketch based on this, and it's Drake. So there you go. I guess it was Drake all along.
Oh man. Yikes.
Did you guys hear about I thought of Drake and his kingdom. Did you guys hear about 21 Savage?
I heard he was on the trending on Twitter today, but I didn't have a chance to look into it. What's
That's because they ICE released him from custody. But did you guys hear about, you guys heard about, like, how he was pretending to be...
I didn't even know he was in custody. What's
going on? Oh, my God. Oh, it was a whole thing. You guys didn't hear... Oh, my God. Okay. Well, we have to go way back.
Oh, God. Okay.
In the distant past, like, a week and a half ago. this is old story. Okay, so 21 Savage, right. He's a Georgia
mm-hmm.
rapper. He's very known for being a very successful local talent from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one of those guys, you know. And so it transpired the day of the Super Bowl this year that 21 Savage... is not from Georgia. 21 Savage immigrated to the U.S. from the U.K. when he was a teenager.
Oh,
yeah.
I did read about
yeah.
that.
And he
yeah.
was and he was just pretending to be from Georgia the whole time. He was in ICE custody, apparently overstayed his visa or something. He's been released now. I mean, you know, he's
yeah.
rich enough that
but
whatever happens is going to be okay.
What?
All of a sudden, everyone's like, wait a second, this dude said he was from Atlanta. And, like, I don't know if I should be bringing up memes on a podcast, but the memes of 21 Savage being, like, there was one, oh my God, they were so funny. There was one where, like, it was a picture of, like, the bunch of redcoats, like, from the Revolutionary War, and the caption was, like, when 21 Savage said, I got shooters all in red, this is what he meant. Like, everybody was going in on this man, because he pretended to be from Georgia. He's actually British.
Why? Why did he pretend?
I guess he wanted to bill himself as like a... Because he went there when he was a teenager. I guess he wanted to bill himself as like an Atlanta homegrown rapper. Because
yeah.
a lot of guys have been very successful that way. A lot of artists
mm-hmm.
have. But I just thought that was... I mean, I know I guess I feel kind of bad for the guy because, you know, he was in legal trouble and it was unfair. But it was just so funny. I mean, it was so funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
Incredible. Is there anything that your heart is desiring to talk about?
Heart.
Any advice you have, any anecdotes, tidbits, things you learned,
you just
want to
talk about.
I've been having some problems with my hair lately.
Yeah?
Oh.
Did you see that Snapchat I sent you guys? I don't know if
right.
I sent it to you. I sent it to you. It was really bad because I've I have this hair care product that I've been using for a long time, and mm-hmm. it's very important to me. And it's by Paul Mitchell, and I love it. And it, apparently it's been on back order. I just found out, and I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because like, I went to my salon, and I usually go to, and they didn't have it there, and so I went to, like, six different places, and they didn't have it anywhere in Oak Park. And I looked it up online, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I've been trying to find a new hair product to use after I wash my hair. Mm-hmm. I tried this one, and it didn't really work out. Didn't like it, so I returned it.
Did you get that snap from him?
I saw a Snapchat on your story yesterday.
I was really hyped for this new one, because I was like, this is supposed to be a new product.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, because I mean, it didn't work, and I'm very disappointed in that, and I have an audition coming up on Monday, and if I can't get my hair stuff before my audition, I'm not going to feel very confident, so.
Mm. I think your hair looks great right
thank
now.
You, thank you.
It really
I appreciate
does.
That. Good, well, maybe it's all in my head.
Regular Robert McBride brand.
Okay.
You look very much like yourself.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. It's very reassuring. I appreciate that, guys. So that's what's going on in my life.
I do hope you find a new one.
They said they should be back by March. They're messing with the formula or something. There's something they want to remove. I'm worried it'll be different when I get it back and it won't do the same stuff as
you
do. I'm terrified. I've been lying awake at night thinking about it. So, yeah, you can tell. I live a stressful life.
You have a good grind, though, it sounds like.
I live an okay grind.
You have a good acting grind, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've just kind of been lucky so far, I guess.
Hey, man, take it if it comes, you know?
Yeah.
You're lucky, you're lucky. Good.
It's fun, though. yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. I've never been on a podcast before, and I've always wanted to be on one.
You did great.
This is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So now we check out.
Yeah.
So, checking out, you just talk about one good thing that happened to you this week, something positive that happened to you, something to end the podcast on a good note. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Should
I say one now?
If you have one,
I have a really amazing book called The Little Drummer Girl. It's actually being made into a miniseries for AMC, but it's by my favorite author, John Le Carré, and I've been reading it, and I'm really enjoying that.
Nice. Okay, Little Drummer Girl.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Read it.
Highest recommendation.
Yes. For Valentine's Day, Camille and I got a heart-shaped pizza, which I've wanted for my entire life, is to have a heart-shaped pizza.
Wow.
We found a place that has one, and because I'm now lactose intolerant, I got goat cheese. And
ooh.
Goat cheese
wow.
is the best,
and
I love it. And I had no problem, so I'm really happy about my heart-shaped goat cheese pizza.
Good.
Where'd you go to get it?
Yeah.
It's called Chicago's Pizza, and it's pretty far away.
Oh, no.
Off of Irving Park and farther.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's like off of Irving Park, so it's like 15, 20-minute drive.
Not too
so
bad,
not,
though.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Especially for Chicago.
Yeah.
Jack came up last night and surprised me and made me salmon and asparagus.
Ooh.
And he brought me a cake, because I always talk about cake.
Salmon's nice. Got lots of protein.
Oh, it's awesome. Great. And he bought me this huge-ass bottle of wine, and I'm like, that's going to get me
awesome.
Through the next couple days.
What kind of wine is it?
I was going to run and grab it. I don't know. I'll show you in the kitchen.
Awesome.
Cool. So now we say our thing. Do you know the thing?
Do it make your heart sore?
Yeah, but
say it
with conviction.
Yeah.
So I just say it now?
When you're ready.
Whenever
you feel it.
When
wait.
I feel the
also,
impulse.
Also, we're on Spotify now. So
we are.
Another
yeah.
subscribe to if you prefer listening to podcasts on Spotify.
Oh my God, Robert, you're
you
your second guest
everywhere.
On our Spotify-ish part.
Wow.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
We're taking over.
Yes.
The airwaves are
and
ours.
If you have any products you can't talk about, let us know and we'll plug them.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally awesome. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Publicity, yeah, for sure. I'm going to be like texting you guys constantly.
I had
a hangnail today, I'm in good health. I survived it, so you know, let the fans.
Definitely need our Robert update.
Oh God!
All right.
Yes.
Do what makes your heart sore.
Do what makes your heart sore.
Do what makes your heart sore.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.